This is tape DR-15,
research study, Ribbons of Memories, an American-Scandinavian Ethnic Heritage Oral History Program. The interviewers are Edward F. Sundberg and Gerda Sundberg. It is the 6th day of August, 1978. We are interviewing in the Aarhus area.
Would you please give us your full name?
My full name is Ole Høyer Nielsen.
And Høyer seems to be a little special name in Denmark. It's not very usual. Is it a special name?
Yes, sort of. It's back about 50 years to my, or no, I guess it must be more to my grandmother. She was out of a family called Høyer, and my grandfather's family was Nielsen. And when they had children, they decided to take one from each family, one name from each family, and put it together like Høyer Nielsen. It's hyphenated.
Mm-hmm.
And
so alphabetically, you are H rather than N.
Actually, we are, yes,
mm-hmm.
We are H.
Would you mind telling us how old you are, Ole?
I'm born in 37.
Born in 37. Yeah. And where were you born?
I was born in a small village, small town up in northern Jutland called Vistrup, V-I-D-S-T-R-U-P. It's between Hirtshals, which is a small fishing
mm-hmm.
town, and Hjøring, which is a provincial town.
Would you give us your father's and your mother's names?
My father's name is Boy Høyer Nielsen. His first name is actually spelled like the English boy, but it's pronounced in Denmark, boy, and it's an old name from Sønderjylland, from the southern part of Jutland. My mother's name was, you want her maiden name?
Also, yes.
Yeah. Her maiden name was Karen Speilborg, and...
Could you tell us a little bit about your parents? For example, what jobs did he have? Did she have a job? And what kind of people were they?
My mother is out of a family of farmers and agriculture
mm-hmm.
family. My father's family were all teachers.
Mm-hmm.
If you go further back to my grandfather, they were farmers as well, as most Danes were. And my father was a teacher in this town where I was born, small village. And my mother became a teacher in, I think it was in 49. She became a teacher and she taught school for about 20 years until she retired.
Inger, would you do sort of what Ola has just done, give us your parents' names and a little bit of family background.
My father, he is a farmer, and he has been a farmer all his life, and his family and father and grandfather and so on has been farmers. And my mother, she was a housewife on the farm, and we are two sisters and one brother.
Now, we didn't establish the fact you were not born in Denmark. Where were you born?
I was born in the northern part of Norway.
Mm-hmm. Would you indicate the place?
It's a small, outside a small town called Harstad.
What it was your girl name?
Kilhus. K-I-L-H-U-S.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also the name of the farm.
Mm-hmm. Now, would you also give us your parents' names?
My father's name is Peter, or Peter,
mm-hmm.
and my mother's name was Sigrid.
How many years of schooling did you have in Norway?
About 12 years, I think.
And then, were you prepared to take a job after that 12 years, or did you have to study or be an apprentice or something after that?
Oh, you mean my own education?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see. Well, I went to primary school and the gymnasium and the teacher training college and then university.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to teach.
I see. So that your profession is as a teacher.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Ola? What is your education? What kind of schooling have you had?
Well, first primary and secondary school, and then I went to teacher's college.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
And you are a teacher now?
Yes, now I'm a teacher.
Mm-hmm. How did you first get to go to the United States?
It was on an exchange program through Antioch College for foreign teachers, and it was a two-year program.
And when was that?
That was in 66 and 67.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this introduction program through Antioch College, and then I taught outdoor school in Richmond. I think it was called Richmond. It's outside New York, Richmond school system. And I taught in an outdoor camp, a summer camp it's called in California,
mm-hmm.
down in San Bernardino Mountains. And after this, I went back to Ohio and taught a full year of sixth grade teacher in Dayton school system.
How did you hear about this program at Antioch?
It was announced in our teacher's magazine here in Denmark. And anyone who had at least 5 years of teaching experience could apply for the program.
And you wrote to Antioch and...
Yes, I sent it through the Danish American Society to Antioch. And the Danish American Society were the, they supplied with all the information.
Is that by any chance also what we call the American Scandinavian Foundation? Or is this another society?
It must be that one.
Okay, that's
yes, it must be that
one. What did you, when you were growing up, what was your knowledge of the United States? Any special knowledge? Any special interest?
Well, my main knowledge had arrived, come from after the war, of course,
mm-hmm.
when I was a teenager, when many people spoke about the United States. Then my father's sister married an Danish-American sea captain and immigrated to America, and they lived, or she lived, they lived in Pennsylvania, and they were back here visiting
mm-hmm.
sometimes.
Would you mind giving us the name of those people?
My uncle's name was George Leonhardt,
mm-hmm.
and I believe he has been living in, he's dead now, but he at that time he had been living in the United States since 16, yeah, since he was 16.
At the time that you began this program at Antioch College, did you have any idea that you might want to come and stay in the United States?
Not at all. I just wanted to go there to benefit educationally from this program and then to see the United States and see what it was like. But I really never thought about coming to live there
mm-hmm.
permanent, or ever tried to live there permanent. That was something that derived later on.
Well, you came back to the United States, to Denmark. What did you do then? Did you go back to teaching as soon as you...
Yes. Because in this program, and when you get this kind of visa, it says that you have to go back to, and also preferable to your original profession, at least for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I had only this, I don't remember the name of the type of visa, but it's,
mm-hmm.
it's a visa that doesn't allow you to stay in the United States. You have to go back, and you have to stay at least 2 years in your home country before you can apply for
mm-hmm.
permanent visa. But already when I was there first time, I decided that after my 2 years back in Denmark was up, I would try to get back to the United States because I liked it so much. But it was something that developed during my first stay.
It was not your original intention.
No.
When did you and Inger meet?
Well, that was at my brother's wedding in 69. My brother is married to Inger's best friend, who's also a teacher, and she's Norwegian as well. Mm-hmm. And my wife was, what do you call it?
He was the best man. And
best man, and she was maid of honor, no? What do you call it?
Yeah, I guess that's what you
call it.
Bridesmaid. Inger, had you ever been to the United States at that time?
Uh-uh.
And here you start to see this fellow, he's been to the United States. Did you start talking about going back at that time? Did she know that you had this in your mind, that this might happen?
Well, this is sometimes a discussion point.
Uh-huh.
When we talk about past, mm-hmm. whether I really had told her clearly enough that that was my intention. I claim that I told her very clearly that my intentions were to go back to the United States and I wanted her to come with me. And but now we don't have to discuss it because she felt very happy as soon as we came to the United States. And I think maybe she was the most unhappy when we left again.
Inger, what was your knowledge of the United States before you went?
You know, I didn't have any family who had been to the United States, but you know, from geography lessons at school, and which were pretty good, and from films,
mm-hmm.
this was the only thing.
So this was really an unknown experience for you, but you're going into something that was quite unknown.
When we landed on Kennedy Airport, I felt, you know, like a new person.
What about language for both of you? What if you had had English in schools, I would suppose. How was your language? Of course, you had been there already then. But
I remember at the university, we were taught to, you know, very RP British English.
Mm-hmm.
Very British. So when we, the first morning we were going to order breakfast in New York, he let me do it, and I couldn't do it. I didn't understand a word. For 2 months.
What year was it that you went to the United States together?
In 70.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you said you landed in New York at the airport. Where did you go from there?
Well, we had bought a car in Denmark that was shipped over there, a VW. Mm-hmm. And it was to be registered in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to drive this car across country to California. We were promised a job in California when we came there, in a furniture store,
mm-hmm.
in Berkeley. I was over there looking for jobs in March, April, six mm-hmm. week. We went together in June. In June, mm-hmm. in midsummer. But I was prior to this in U.S. for 6 weeks just looking for jobs.
Mm-hmm.
We had ridden a lot of school systems in California, maybe about 50.
Yeah.
I think we used hundreds of crowns in postage alone. Mm-hmm. And I found out through this correspondence that it was very difficult, so I took the chance to go over there and talk to some of the school systems, but it really didn't help anything at that time. I got offers from private schools, but we wouldn't be able to survive on these salaries.
Mm-hmm.
I got an offer from Richmond School System as a substitution
mm-hmm.
teacher, but I wasn't promised any certain
mm-hmm.
amount of hours.
Mm-hmm.
Or lessons to teach, so I couldn't count on this. And then I met a Danish American fellow in Berkeley. No, I saw an ad in the paper in San Francisco Chronicle that this Danish furniture store needed a new manager. And I called him up and told him who I was and said that I was interested. I didn't talk about that I was applying for teaching jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I told him I was a teacher, but I was interested in anything else. And I went down to see him, and we talked it over for an hour. And he said he was interested, and he offered me, I think it was $700 a month. And that was way more than I could get it in school systems,
mm-hmm.
private schools,
yeah. Oh,
at least.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I said yes, and I went back and told Inge that we couldn't get a job as a teacher, but I was sure we could get this, and he had promised me this job, and he had promised that Inge could get a job in a gift shop as well,
mm-hmm.
when we came over there. So that was enough to that we could not sell all our stuff, but store it up and give it a try and go over there and see if we could live there. And then it was our intention when we were there looking for jobs in teaching fields.
You told us a little earlier that you did have relatives in California. Would you mention who that relative was and what that person's involvement in California is?
Well, that is my my brother.
Mm-hmm.
He's 3 years younger than I. He went to
U.S. What's his first name?
Smith, S-B-N-D.
Uh-huh.
And he went to California on a scholarship studying forestry.
Mm-hmm.
He's educated in forestry. During his studies at the Berkeley University, he got interested in computer science, and he took a master's degree in this particular field. And he did the same as I did, went back 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and met a Danish girl, sorry, Norwegian girl,
yeah.
Yes, who is Inge's best friend,
uh-huh.
and got married, and then went back to the United States together with her.
Mm-hmm.
And he got jobs various places, but now he's working with Bank of America,
mm-hmm.
as a research consultant.
So there was somebody there that you knew? It
yes.
wasn't as if you moved into a community where there was no one that you knew?
No. I knew even other people there, too. When I was there in 67 and 66
mm-hmm.
also, I met other Danish people there in this area.
Mm-hmm.
In San Francisco area, and I had several friends in California from 66 and 67 from before then.
So it was not a totally strange situation. What about coming across in this Danish car when you came across the country? Did either one of you or the two of you experience anything in particular? Was there anything about that trip that might have been different, or what about it?
Well, we had made a plan on this trip across the country, and we visited some of Ole's friends. So we stayed overnight or 2 days, and we stayed in Ohio for a couple of days and so on. And but I remember two small kids beside on the road. They asked where we came from, and we told them, and then they said, "Oh, Denmark, isn't that a small town in Norway?"
Yeah.
You know. So, and we didn't feel embarrassed, but because it was very natural that they didn't know where these two small countries were.
Yeah.
What was your reaction to the trip across the country?
You mean exhausted or something like
any,
that?
Any
no, I was so impressed. There were so many things to see, and all is the type that, you know, running up and down and going to see everything and into caves and... It was so hot and it was so cold. it was very, very fun. It was fantastic.
So your first impression was not one of fear or regret that you had made the big trip across the water?
No. I think I was so curious to see everything. And the trip was so well planned. And the greatest point, I think, was Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm. What about you? Would you
That's true that on a trip like this, we first of all felt like tourists. We wanted to experience the country the scenery, mm-hmm. I mean, but also to meet the people, or at least look up some people that I met from before. But since you're asking this question, I would rather tell you about my first experience in 66. Actually, it was in 65, December. I came there during Christmas vacation, between Christmas and New Year, to Antioch College. No, we came to New York. And I think at this time, I really felt a little frightened, seeing this huge, immense and big city first time, and being there hardly understanding the language. We were three guys together. We were on this program I was talking about before, only three Danes. Mm-hmm. We kept together. We traveled together, mm-hmm. to Ohio. And I think we all felt this, a little frightened in this big city. But we adjusted quite fast, though there was something I don't think we could ever, we at least not at this time, could adjust to. That was the backside of all the houses, I would call it. Like when you were going with the train out on Long Island, you would see all the back houses. And that is, we were really astonished to see this, because we knew now we were in the richest country of, mm-hmm. of the world. And then we saw some of the poorest thing we have ever seen in our life. We have been to southern Europe and seen poverty, poverty. Mm-hmm. But that it also was present in the United States. Mm-hmm. That we have really never given any thought. Mm-hmm. And then I came to Ohio, to Dayton, Ohio, and to Yellow Spring and Antioch. And the director of the program was a very kind and a very a man that we liked very much, and we admired him after we learned to know him. But at the beginning, I really couldn't understand him, because he was taking us to his home, giving us a very nice dinner, and we stayed there all night and talked together, and then he would. He took us out to the dormitory where we were to sleep. And that was an old farmhouse they had rented. And it was a quite run-down farmhouse. And they hardly had any furniture in this old farmhouse. And there was just a bed. Okay, there were electricity and there were water. And water closet and so on, but that was hardly all. There was no paint in the house. And this is strange, coming from a comfortable life in Scandinavia, to see that the Americans, they sometimes don't mind wrapping it a little bit to achieve some other goals than just the pleasure of everyday life. And that was something I never understood at the beginning. I just had to learn about. And this was very hard.
This was hard for you.
Yes.
Would you reflect a little bit upon the orientation program you had at Antioch?
Yes. First of all, there are the language problems. And it took me probably a month before I got over it. And this, when you finally get over it, it's like a barrier. Mm-hmm. And suddenly you it seems to you like you break through the barrier. And this is one of the most happiest days in your life, when you feel this. Mm-hmm. Now it's okay. yes. Mm-hmm. But the program was very well planned, and I think it was very it was useful things they taught us about. Of course, sometimes we had a feeling that these people who gave talks to us were trying to tell it a little too nice to us. But after having been living there for some time, we found out it was the truth. It was really how they wanted it to be, like talking about educational systems and so on. We had lectures coming in from the community. We had lectures coming in from the educational systems around the area. And we had lectures coming in from political life.
Now, how long did that orientation program last?
It ran for 3 months. And during these 3 months, we got so much information that we should be able to pick our teaching jobs as we wanted them to be for ourselves. And I think that was very successful.
Let's go back to California. What about this job at the furniture store? Did it pan out?
Yes, it turned out all right, except that being a salesman and selling another man's furniture, if it was my own store, it was a whole different thing. But being a salesman and just selling some other man's furniture, that's not me.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no future in it, really. And that was why after 2 years we decided to go home, mainly. And also there was some indication from my home country that the teaching situation back here would tighten up so that there wouldn't be that many jobs available if we stayed longer.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Inga? Did you have any job while you were in the States?
Yeah, I was working in the same
job. Get the job
in the gift store. 1 year. And then I got pregnant and got Morton and stayed at home as a housewife.
How much did you get a chance to be with the American people during this time?
We had 2 days off, 2 work days off.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, or not in the week,
mm-hmm.
weekend. So we had a good chance to avoid traffic and travel.
Mm-hmm.
And we traveled a lot, and we saw all of California, I think, not the northern part, but a great part of California. We went to Mexico, and all the things, and we also met many Americans. And I want to say that I never met people being so, you know, with that great hospitality. All doors open, especially for us. I don't know why.
Well, then you never felt any prejudices because you came from another country, or maybe your English was not quite what other people's English was. You did not find anything like that.
Well, they mentioned our accent, but they thought, oh, it's a nice accent, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I never felt never embarrassed or anything because of my accent.
What was it like to go shopping in a new country?
But, you know, the first 2 months, you feel that you can never survive.
Mm-hmm.
But after you said something about the barrier, when you have crossed the barrier, then everything is okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to live.